Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMZ's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us momentarily to discuss allergies is Dr. Kirsi Jarvinen Seppo of the Allergy and Asthma Center at Albany Medical Center, an assistant professor of medicine and pediatrics at Albany Medical Center, an assistant professor in the Center for Immunology and Microbial Disease at Albany Medical College. She specializes in food allergies, allergic rhinitis, atopic dermatitis, asthma, drug allergy, and allergy testing. A graduate of the University of Helsinki in Finland. That's terrific. She completed her fellowship in allergy and immunology and residency in pediatrics at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. Dr. Jarvinen Seppo will be welcome as soon as she walks into the studio. Now, you got to help me out. She'll be here. We have a big, giant fire around the corner here. And so she came up, I'm sure, Madison Avenue. And that means she was trying to make a right on Quail to get over here, and she couldn't get there. You can't get there from here if there are fire trucks and policemen, you know, and the mayor and all like that there. So what I need to hear about now is, for the next few minutes until she gets here, your allergy story. Do you have an allergy story? I do. If you have it and you want to talk about it, now's a good time to do it. Then when she gets here, then we'll hear from the expert. In the meantime, you'll be the expert. You'll tell us what's going on. Do not, please, do not mention any doctor's name who may have led you astray or this stuff like that. I don't want to be sued. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's allergy day here at the radio station that you love. You know, if you've got a story to tell us about your allergy and what happened to you and maybe how you almost died because you ate a peanut or something that you shouldn't have eaten, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so now we're going to take our first telephone call as soon as we have a name up there. Okay, great. Well done. David in Albany. Okay, and here we go. David, you're on. Hi, David. I think David went Whoa! Was it something I said? Okay, wait a second. I'll do this. Okay, who's this?
Helene.
Helene. Do you have a story to tell us, Helene?
I do, and I was also wondering if I could stay on hold to ask the doctor a question.
Well, she's not here yet. Oh, yeah, there she is. She's coming in the door right now. Okay, go ahead. Why don't you start?
Anyway, 2 years ago, I started breaking out on my lips, and I thought I had a sunburn. And it just kept happening and happening, and then I finally went to the allergist and learned there's something called oral allergy syndrome.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, and it's a very normal thing to the allergist. But anyway, it turned out that because I was allergic to ragweed and hay and trees, different foods that I was eating, like tomatoes and fruits and melons and things, were making me break out. So there's a cross-reference between seasonal allergies and foods that you eat, and I had no idea. And it just shocked me, and I was thinking that people need to know that that's a possibility.
Well, that's great that you're telling us this story. Now, I want to say two things. All five phones are ringing, so you'll have to wait if you're trying to get in, because obviously this is going to be a very important topic.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Kirsi Jarvinen Seppo of the Allergy and Asthma Center at Albany Medical Center is now here. I want to thank you for calling.
Can I throw one more question out there?
No. We have to reprise so she knows what's up. Okay. At the risk of messing up, why don't you in one sentence tell us what you've already told us, because now she can hear it herself.
Okay. I was just wondering if people out there knew that there's a condition called oral allergy syndrome, and it's brought on by seasonal allergies, but it's also related to eating seasonal foods or lots of other fruits and vegetables like tomatoes and raspberries and strawberries. And so it was a new thing for me to learn. And then I also had a question about over-the-counter allergy medicine that was working and is not anymore.
Okay. So oral allergy syndrome, or so-called food pollen allergy syndrome, it has two names. The former one is an older version. This is a fairly common phenomenon, especially in adults who have pollen allergies, like you mentioned.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it does come as a surprise to surprisingly many people once they hear about this. But again, the symptoms are fairly common and really seen in about up to 60% of adult patients who have pollen sensitivities. So oftentimes individuals realize that they have some mouth itching symptoms, commonly with apples or carrots, and they stop eating the fresh food.
Yeah.
They later on may find out that this is actually really, in essence, a food allergy, although it's not, the classical food allergy where you actually go into potentially for anaphylactic reactions and things like that.
And why don't you just tell us about anaphylactic reactions, because that's what we all worry about, right?
Sure. So anaphylactic reactions are severe, potentially fatal food allergic reactions that include multi-system reactivity. So individuals can develop, in addition to skin symptoms such as hives or rashes, they can quickly develop multi-organ symptoms such as difficulty breathing, persistent cough, gastrointestinal symptoms such as vomiting, abdominal cramps, and most importantly and more severely, they can go into anaphylactic shock, where they can stop or have significant difficulty breathing and drop their blood pressure.
Okay, you're very quickly on the over-the-counter issue.
I've been taking an over-the-counter allergy medicine that has been working really well. It took me a long time to figure out which one would work for me, and now it's not working after taking it fairly regularly for a year.
Okay. I would say the most common scenario here is that your allergies are simply becoming more severe. So whereas milder over-the-counter antihistamines worked in the past, you may need more potent antihistamines or even a combination of eye drops, nasal spray.
This is the time of year it's the worst anyway.
Right. So I would check in with an allergist to tailor a treatment regimen for you.
Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah. There's now one free phone open, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Hannah in, I guess it's Goshen, and you're going to be speaking with Dr. Javinen Seppo. Am I pronouncing that wrong?
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Hannah.
Yeah. Doctor, I've been diagnosed with a condition called rhinitis. I don't have major symptoms. I do sometimes get ill more frequently than others. I also have bronchiectasis, and I'm being treated for that with a vaporizer with albuterol and hypersaline, which I'm to take at least once a day. But the neither of those substances are steroids, whereas the Flonase that is prescribed for the rhinitis is a steroid, and I really rather not do that. I have been using a nasal spray, once in the morning, once in the evening, and I'm wondering if I need to progress to something that's strong.
Okay, let's stop right there. Let's ask the doctor this following question. First of all, so everybody understands, what's rhinitis?
So, rhinitis.
No, not you. Her. Go ahead.
Rhinitis refers to nasal symptoms, and naturally those can be because of multiple etiologies. There can be allergic basis for rhinitis, but there can also be multiple non-allergic basis for rhinitis. So first of all, the initial question here would be, is this rhinitis on an allergy basis or a non-allergic rhinitis?
Oh, okay.
I believe not.
It's not, you say?
No, I believe not.
Okay, go ahead, Doc.
So there are multiple regimens to treat rhinitis, but if it's non-allergy basis, I guess the armamentarium is more limited. But I think this is again in a scope of an ENT or allergy specialist to tailor a treatment regimen.
Hannah,
thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, let's go to. Pleasant in Troy. Is it Pleasant?
Hello.
Hello, are you Pleasant?
Yes, that's my first name. It's been in my family 5 generations.
Terrific.
So, Doctor, I have a question for you regards raw carrots. I've eaten carrots all my life, but I did have a small episode of raw carrot juice and anaphylactic shock in my 50s, and it's happened twice now in my 60s. The last time was rather serious. And so I've been to the doctors and had skin tests, all of that, and indeed it always shows up, a serious allergy to raw carrots. But I'm wondering, and so I stay away from it, and I carry an EpiPen with me. But my question is, how does that come about? I ate carrots all my life. I love carrots. I can't eat them now.
So there can be natural progression of food allergic reactions. It doesn't mean that they're always getting worse, by the way, which often people claim to be the case. It's possible that your allergy has gone worse along with the pollen sensitization. I have to note here for the audience that anaphylactic reactions happening with this pollen food allergy or oral allergy syndrome are extremely rare, maybe estimated about 1% of patients who have oral allergy syndrome. So it's quite unusual that you have had anaphylaxis with raw carrots. I mean, it's certainly possible.
My doctor said that, both doctors, yeah. The specialists, they both said, we've never encountered this.
Absolutely.
But it nearly killed me this last time.
Absolutely. And sometimes these reactions, which I have seen a couple of times being anaphylactic in this scenario of oral allergy syndrome, they have to do with ingestion of exceedingly large amounts of raw fruit or vegetable, just like you're describing here. So whereas a bite of apple or carrot might not bring about this severe reaction, it really happens with large amount of liquid like in your case.
Yes, I was on an airplane and they gave me a small bag of raw carrots, didn't think twice, hadn't eaten all day. And that's what brought it on. But one bite of a carrot, I don't get any response.
Interesting. I once went on a raw carrot diet, and all I did was have raw carrot juice. And I swear to you, I turned orange.
Yes.
I mean, it was really, it was wild.
No. Alan, that was back in the 70s, I'm sure. I was there, too.
Pleasant. Thank you very much. I would say have a pleasant day.
You.
I would say have a pleasant day. I'm going to just say have a nice day, okay?
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from St. Peter's Health Partners, nearly 12,000 professionals offering a comprehensive healthcare system in the greater capital region. Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, teaching Romanas Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private, semi-private, and small group classes, reformyourbody.com. Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, summer blooms, shade shelter, sundial, and container design exhibitions, garden classes, and workshops, open daily 9 to 5, BerkshireBotanical.org. And MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, serving the capital region with a range of cabinetry and countertops, design services, and showroom, MKCKitchens.com.
And we are back with Dr. Kirsi Jarvinen Seppo of the Allergy and Asthma Center at Albany Medical Center. She had to get around a major fire to get here, but she did it, and we are all blessed that she did. All five phones are ringing off the hook. Let us go to David in Albany. All right, David, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
All my life, well, since I was a teenager, which is a good 40 years, whenever I eat clams, a few hours later, I find myself throwing up in the sink. Clams or anything that's been cooked with clams. And so I've stopped eating clams. I've stopped eating other bivalves. But, I don't get hives. I don't get any other classic allergy reactions. What's going on? Is it an allergy? Do I need to avoid other bivalves?
Bivalves meaning like oysters?
Oysters, mussels.
Mussels, yeah.
Scallops, anything that opens.
Okay.
Clam
Here we go.
Sure. So I seem to get this more and more often. This very same question about mussels or some mollusks. By the way, shellfish are divided into two major groups, the mollusks that include mussels, clams, squid, and then the crustaceans that include crawfish, lobster, shrimp. And these
I'm fine with crustaceans.
Yes. So, and this is actually fairly common. Individuals who become allergic to mollusks might not have problem with crustaceans and the other way around. So mollusks seem to elicit reactions, and I'm not sure if this is an allergic reaction, but reactions in many individuals, especially in adults. To adequately answer your question, I think skin testing and adequate allergy testing by an allergist would reveal whether your reactions are on an allergy basis, and if so, strict avoidance is, of course, recommended in addition to carrying an EpiPen and other emergency plan at hand.
Tell us about that EpiPen business so that everybody gets that.
EpiPen is an emergency medication for individuals who are at risk for anaphylactic reactions, which includes food allergic patients.
Or getting stung by bee.
Getting stung by bee, very correctly. This self-injectable or auto-injectable device contains medication that is called epinephrine or adrenaline in Europe, which is the medication that makes your heart beat faster and brings your blood pressure up and makes you breathe easier. In other words, it reverses very quickly anaphylactic reactions, and this is the emergency medication that is life-saving for severe allergic reactions.
David?
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, David. I got to tell you, I think about this a lot, you know, that people react to some shellfish and the rest, and then I think, being Jewish, that there's this all of these reasons for kosher laws early on, you weren't allowed to eat any of that stuff. And I have a feeling maybe some of this came out of the same kinds of things that early people were going into. Maybe I'm all wrong. But
there may be some truth to that.
There you go. We got two free phones. Now's your time, folks. Kathy in Liberty, New York. Go, Kathy.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Dr. Seppo. My question is about my adult daughter who has seemingly intractable acne. She's been to dermatologists and been on antibiotics and all kinds of prescription creams and medications, as well as over-the-counter things that she's tried. And nobody has ever mentioned allergies. But on your last Medical Monday show that I tuned into, the doctor said something about that. And I've been kind of looking online about this. And is that a possibility that this very red inflamed acne could be actually food allergies?
That's a good question. The medical literature as such does not support food allergies as a cause for acne. Now, without knowing what the previous program entailed, I would say that there's, you know, potentially some contact skin reactions might be exacerbating acne, but then again, classical food allergies have not been implicated.
And why do people like me, when I was, you know, 16, get acne?
Well, that has to do a lot with the hormonal status and changes in that.
Uh-huh.
So that's why typically acne gets treated with skin care products, but also some oral medications.
And also growing up, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Kathy, thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. Okay, thanks.
1-800-348-2551. And now Kathleen in Albany, New York. Kathleen, go.
Yeah, hi, Alan, Dr. Seppo. It's my first time calling. I love your show, Alan.
Thank you.
In any case, about 2.5 years ago, I started getting swellings of my lips, possibly one side, the other side, the entire upper or entire lower lip, and sometimes my upper eye would swell. And this was happening every week, and then every 2 weeks it was going down. I thought at first it might be reusing plastic bottles for drinking out of, so I quit doing that. and it lessened and lessened until I stopped having it. And I had allergy testing, and they couldn't find anything except for some small seasonal, small allergies to animals. I was found to be highly allergic to oysters, which I've never had a reaction to. But in any case, I also had quit smoking right before I started having all of these reactions. And I was wondering if that could have just been manifesting itself, all of these allergic kind of edemas and from quitting smoking. Is that possible?
This is a tricky question here.
The
right answer.
She's trying to trick you.
the right answer is not here to start smoking again. And I hope your symptoms have resolved by now.
I haven't had them in 2 years.
Okay, that's perfect. I think that's the most important thing. We oftentimes we cannot find a reason for these idiopathic or unexplained swelling or hives episodes. Mm-hmm. That's a fairly common thing. But for the first time, I'm getting this history of coincided smoking and quitting smoking at the same time. It may well be just a coincidence.
But it could be psychiatric, couldn't it? I don't mean that in a bad way, but in other words, if somebody quit smoking. This is a major addiction, and it's tough to get off of it. And you might, dredge up some symptoms of some kind.
For sure.
Actually, Alan, mine was very easy quitting. I got hypnotized once by a wonderful psychologist in the Albany area, and it was like I had never smoked before.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Well,
yeah.
it may have been subliminal, to press my point.
But we do know, in terms of hives, hives, which essentially swelling of the lip, it's a hive of the lip. We know that hives have a very important component in anxiety and being nervous. So
you see?
So
could be.
Thank you, Kathleen. Appreciate
okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Seppo.
That leaves one free phone open. Let's go to, I guess it's Marsha in Albany. Marsha.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I have a question about allergic reactions to antibiotics and how to be tested for them. I've had about 4 surgeries within the last 12 months, and with each surgery, I've had a rash from my trunk up through my neck and face, which I notice as soon as I come home. And the assumption was made that it was because of the antibiotic given through the IV during the surgery, which was a quick surgery each time. And so I was switched to a different antibiotic. So it went from the Keflex, which I had taken orally before without any problems, so they gave me Ansef. So that came off the list. And then vancomycin came off the list. And there had been 2 allergic reactions before this to other things, penicillin and clindamycin, through the years. And then they decided, okay, the plastic surgeon decided to give me doxycycline, not through the IV, but orally as soon as I got home. And no problem the first time. But the second time, orally, as soon as the surgery was completed, I got that rash. And so I thought, this can't be. I mean, I was really concerned because the list grew shorter of things I could take. So I took a Claritin the next morning and continued to take the doxycycline for the 7-day period I was supposed to. The rash cleared up. So I'm wondering how to determine if this is an antibiotic allergy or some topical solution they used during the surgery. How can I be tested for this?
Excellent question. Antibiotic allergies are probably thought to be more common than they really are. The problem is that we don't really have reliable ways for checking and verifying whether a person has antibiotic allergy or not, except for with reasonable certainly we can test for penicillin and related compounds. So rashes come and go. Doesn't sound like your reactions have been life-threatening, especially the last example goes to show that you treated basically with over-the-counter antihistamine yourself, this reaction, whatever that may have been. I think in your case, an allergy evaluation, including penicillin skin testing, is definitely indicated to at least rule in or rule out that antibiotic allergy, and that will potentially open up a class of medications that could be used in your case. But for multiple other antibiotics, unfortunately, there is no reliable test to verify. So oftentimes we go by choosing a medication that has worked in the past and has not resulted in reactions.
I see. So the penicillin allergy test, would that be done in a doctor's office?
Yes, an allergist can do that.
I see. And how about testing for the topical solutions that they use during surgery?
There is no reliable and standardized method for that. And we might not know exactly what they've been using either. So a reaction that lasts for quite some time after the surgery doesn't necessarily sound like something that they just once put on your skin. So I think that's lowest on my list of suspicious agents.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Marsha. Appreciate your call.
Okay.
That leaves one free phone, as usual. Let us go to Steve in Springfield. I want you all to know a little bit of background for Dr. Kirshi Jarvanin Seppo. Amazing background. As you know, she graduated of the University of Helsinki in Finland, completed her fellowship in allergy and immunology and residency in pediatrics and nothing less than Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. It's a joy to have her here. And as you can hear, we're getting a lot of telephone calls, and that's great. Okay, and let's go to Steve in Springfield. Steve, you're on.
Oh, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
This question borders on the silly and the simple, I think. But
is it a trick question?
It might be. I don't know. When I was a kid, I always noticed when you look up at the sun, you sneeze.
But
now I'm a soccer coach of small kids, and I always tell them, if you feel like you're going to sneeze, look up at the sun, and you'll get the sneeze over with, and then you can play soccer. And one of them finally turned to me and said, why? And I realized, I have no idea.
But I've always heard, Steve, this is where the trick comes in, that one should not look at the sun.
Oh, but, you know, that's where the fun is.
Oh, I see. Then the next week we'll have an eye doctor on here. But doctor, do you want to say something about this?
So without knowing or remembering the exact physiology, this is a known physiologic phenomenon that you can stop the sneeze. So this is not an urban legend. This is medical knowledge.
You mean wait a second, let's get this straight. If you think you're going to sneeze,
yep,
look at the sun through sunglasses. And you won't sneeze?
I don't know if it works through sunglasses.
Uh-oh.
What do you think?
That was a trick also. Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody should look at the sun. But what can I tell you, Steve? You may be leading a lot of people astray here.
Well, I guess with the sunglasses, try it sometime. But I I've noticed it just seems to work with about 100% time when I look at the sun. If I feel a sneeze coming, maybe it is psychosomatic or in my head, but at any rate, the sneeze gets over with. Thank you for taking the call.
And we thank you, Steve. It's really, every once in a while, it's great to hear a question like that. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you, Dale. Bye.
Yeah, let's go to Amethyst in Stone Ridge, New York. Okay, Amethyst, we love to hear from Stone Ridge and do a lot. Go ahead.
Hi. My question may be out of the doctor's purview, but it may not be. My question is, I have heard and read various opinions about alcoholism as being a type of allergy to alcohol, an allergic reaction that develops over time and, of course, would be different than the traditional alcohol allergy where you get kind of red and hives and whatever. But I've heard this quite a bit, alcoholism described as a physical allergy, and I'm wondering what the doctor feels about that.
Well, I have to say this is the very first time I'm ever hearing about this.
Oh.
So I guess that goes to tell that at least the medical literature does not in my field support this.
Okay, well, that is good to know, and I will.
Or maybe it's just not in my field of expertise.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate you taking my call.
And we appreciate anybody named Amethyst calling us up. This is really a beautiful name. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Now, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to be right back. And now, for some reason, all of a sudden, we have three free phones. So you want to make that call, make it now.
Support for WAMC comes from American Meditation Institute, Avril Park, New York. Offering meditation classes for beginners working to reduce stress and enhance their health, AmericanMeditation.org. Wyndham Chamber Music Festival, presenting soprano Nancy Allen Lundy and baritone Philip Cutlip this Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Wyndham Civic Center, WyndhamMusic.com. NBT Bank, offering personal banking, financial planning, commercial and business banking, NBTBank.com, member FDIC. And Smith College Museum of Art, hosting monthly second Fridays from 4 to 8 p.m., hands-on art making for families at 4, and an open eyes gallery walk at 6, smith.edu/artmuseum.
And we are back with our wonderful guest, and we are talking allergies today with Dr. Kirsi Jarvinen Seppo of the Allergy and Asthma Center at Albany Medical Center. And she's terrific, as you can all hear. Let's go to Frank in Boston Spa. Frank, you're on.
Good afternoon, doctors. Thank you. I have two general questions. I own a bakery in Boston Spa, and I have been asked by many people to produce gluten-free product, and I have resisted it simply because I feel that the amount of flour that's in the atmosphere in my bakery would contaminate any attempt at a truly gluten-free product. My other question has to do with I have had many, many people in the last several months ask me to produce nut-free, tree nut and or root nut free product. And again, because of cross-contamination, or at least what I perceive may be cross-contamination in the ovens, I've resisted this. Doctor, your comments and just a overview, if at all possible.
Okay, very interesting. So the gluten insensitivity goes under the wide umbrella of food intolerance, although not a classical food allergy. As a food allergist, I do see sometimes patients with gluten insensitivity as well, and naturally with wheat allergy, which essentially gets treated exactly the same with wheat avoidance. Now, there are different levels of gluten intolerance. Some people are extremely sensitive to even small amounts of cross-contamination, and the same goes for wheat allergy as well. I tend to think that as for wheat allergy, the airborne cross-contamination is probably a small problem, like you're mentioning about the ovens. But if products are clearly being prepared on same using same utensils, cutting boards, and pots and pans as for regular products containing nuts, for example, this could be a serious issue of cross-contamination.
Now, you know, we had, when we went down to the CIA in Poughkeepsie, the Culinary Institute, we had the guy. And boy, did he go on and on and on about how you had to have absolutely separate preparatory areas. Because as you say, it could be nothing, or it could be that they're really hypersensitive. So I think you're on the right track, Frank.
Absolutely.
I will not prepare anything in here that is gluten-free, and because obviously it the risk far outweighs any profit that you could possibly make. Now, doctor, in the ovens, when I bake, for instance, cupcakes, after I've made a pecan or a peanut-based product, do I risk contamination because of oils or atmosphere that may exist within that oven, even though it's running at 350, 400 degrees?
Well, heating does not abolish allergenicity of nuts. Or wheat, for that matter. So Should there be any physical contact with your product that you're preparing, it is possible that cross-contamination can happen. This, by the way, is different than smelling simply, say, peanut butter in the air. Really, the cross-contamination problem comes with physical contact, and just the smell itself does not pose a risk for peanut allergic patients.
I just learned.
I'd rather err on the side of safety and not offer, not offer either.
I just learned a new word, allergenicity. It's a wonderful, it's a wonderful word. Thank you, Frank.
I wonder how you spell that. Thank you, Alan. Have a great afternoon, sir.
You too. Let's go to Laura in Clintondale, where everybody runs for president. Yes, Laura.
Hi. I'm not running for president today.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you. I just wanted to report to you an allergy technique that I recently found that helped me a lot. I had a very severe allergy to cats and had a very severe allergic reaction. And the allergy system is called NAET. It's an allergy elimination technique. And I just went to see someone in one session and put some acupuncture needles in my spine, and it knocked it right out. And I sent a lot of people there, and they've had excellent results. So I just wanted to share with you. I'm not sure how it works or why it works, but it was very helpful, and it absolutely cured my cat allergies such that I did not have to get rid of my cat. So I just, it's called NAET, and I just wanted
Well, let's get a reaction. Doctor?
So NAET is among other therapies that I have patients taking, and certainly, although I would not recommend it for somebody who has anaphylactic type of allergy to, say, foods, there may be individual patients who have profited from this therapy as well as acupuncture. But again, I would really like to focus here on anaphylactic food reactions, for example, and those patients with those, I would definitely not recommend this therapy as a cure.
All right. Laura, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Lisa in Dalton. Lisa in Dalton, you're on.
Hi, thank you. So I have an unusual thing that I've had my whole life. I've never been tested for it. But when I wake up in the morning, I have a terrible itchiness that sits somewhere between my throat and my ear. And I have allergies in general. I'm allergic. I have hay fever. I'm allergic to animals. There are some foods. I don't have any severe reactions to foods, but there certainly are foods that give me that itchy feeling in my mouth and fuzziness that I just stay away from. But I've never been tested, and yet this thing that happens between my ear and my throat has happened my whole life, and I've always wondered about it, not enough to go to a doctor. but is that something that you recognize? And why it would happen when you wake up in the morning, although sometimes it has woken me up in the middle of the night.
So I don't think this is all that uncommon, the symptom you're describing. I oftentimes meet patients who have symptoms in their ears and in the back of their throat and even in the eustachian tube that connects these two. There could be itching, there could be feeling of blockage, and so forth. I think this simply just goes with the allergic symptomatology, and the fact that you're describing this happening more in the morning might indicate that there might be some in indoor allergens. Maybe you know of those, or maybe you are not aware about those yet, and I would look into this more by allergy testing, whether there's, say, dust mite allergy that might be ticking you off during the nighttime.
Yeah. Okay. So it's definitely an allergy of some sort that could be.
I think it's very possible.
I think it's getting so much more often that it's probably worth going to a doctor to have it checked out. So.
I agree.
Thanks,
Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
That leaves three free phones. Everyone's been ringing all day, so this is extraordinary opportunity for somebody to get in. Now, I have to ask you, you mentioned ticking you off, and I wondered, is there any connection between our fear of ticks these days and Lyme disease and allergies?
No.
Okay, let's go to Myra. Myra in Poughkeepsie, go.
Yes, I have an allergic to things from the sea.
Yep.
It's something that is, I guess, fairly common, and it was a kind of onset. I call it an onset allergy. In other words, I wasn't born with it, but by the time I was 16, I was allergic to fish and seafood, and shellfish, and terribly allergic to the point of, the fumes, touching dishes with it, anything cooked in fish oil. The only thing I'm not allergic to, even seaweed. So the only thing I'm not allergic to is tuna fish in a can. So that's one question. And the other thing is, in the last 10 years, I've started to develop an allergy to peaches. So I stay away from them because of my experience with fish. So can you say something about onset allergies? In other words, things that you're not born with, but which you tend to develop. What's the reason for that? And why would I be allergic to tuna fish from the not allergic to tuna fish in a can.
Okay.
I can't eat tuna, grilled tuna, real tuna.
Okay. All right. So seafood allergies contain fish allergy and shellfish allergy. Sounds like you have fish allergy to other fish except for tuna fish. And again, this is fairly well known phenomena. In fact, the fish do have they do share some allergens in common, but they also have allergens that are not found in all fish. And where salmon and whitefish have a fair amount of common allergens, tuna is slightly different. It actually even looks different, right? It has a different color to it. So it has different proteins. It's essentially quite different. It's the chicken of the sea, right? So it's somewhat different in allergenicity.
But of course, what she was saying, and it's interesting, is Myra was saying, is that she can't eat tuna, regular tuna, but she can only eat it when it's from a can.
Right. So tuna that has been canned has further decreased allergenicity because it's been sitting in there for quite some time. So this may have to do. You might, I don't know if you've tried well-cooked tuna, grilled tuna, for example.
I'm not going to try anything.
Right.
I've ended up in emergency rooms. No.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Okay.
But it's possible. If my husband is listening, he could join me greeting you here that people who have fish allergy, they oftentimes can eat canned tuna and also grilled tuna steak, especially if it's well-cooked.
Now, why would your husband know about this?
Because he's one of those that I had to convince in the adult age to try tuna.
Oh, I see.
And
of course, there's always mercury in the tuna. So
that's
maybe
true.
Somebody could be allergic to the mercury.
No, that's not possible. So protein is the one responsible for
gotcha.
Allergic reactions.
Sorry, my 2 cents worth. Yeah. Appreciate it.
So now, why do they come on? Why do allergies come on later on in life? Like my...
That's a great question. We don't have a great answer to that. I mean, you were an adolescent, teenager when you developed this allergy, and we do know that especially fish and shellfish, especially shellfish allergies, oftentimes can start in a little bit later, not meaning late in life, but beyond early childhood, and we don't know
the
mechanism.
The peaches, same thing, except
the peaches maybe. The peaches go back to the oral allergy syndrome. So peaches among those fresh fruits that cause mouth symptoms in individuals who have pollen sensitivities, tree pollen allergy in the spring pollen season.
Okay, Myra, we got a lot of people behind you. We thank you very much for the call. Okay, let's go to Rose in Niskayuna. Rose?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wonder, is it possible for a statin, the rather long use of a statin, to cause a rash and extreme itchiness?
Well, drug allergies can happen, and they can develop after long time use of a medication, although it's not common to happen. I think this should be sorted out in an allergist office, whether this could be the case. Okay, this is difficult to answer without taking a full history here.
And you guys know that when anybody complains about a statin or anything else, they just say switch to another one or stop taking it,
right,
because they're careful. Rose, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay.
You know, I have this overwhelming urge to sneeze, but I can't. There's no sun in here, so I don't know what to do. Let's go to Barbara in Kingston. Barbara, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, Barbara, you're on.
Hi. Yes. My boyfriend, he's 71. He sneezes. He wakes up and sneezes for the first 2 hours, and he has to blow his nose at least 50 times. And it's every day. And we went to Florida for 3 months, and the habit continued in Florida. And the only time it ever went away was when he went to St. Lucia for 1 month.
Mm. All right.
No, he only went to St. Lucia for a week, and it went away. So okay. He didn't have it.
I think this is a perfect answer to answer in an office where we have environmental testing panel available for allergy testing. This could be on an allergic basis for sure, or it could be so-called vasomotor rhinitis, which is a non-allergic nasal syndrome. But I think to perfectly answer, I think he's definitely indicated for a visit for
now,
an allergist.
And how do they do that if they want to get to your practice?
They can just call the main office number.
Call Albany Med?
Yeah.
Okay. Barbara, thanks a lot. And, you know, if he sleeps outside, he could look at the sun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Kathy from Loudonville. Okay, Kathy, you're on.
Hello,
Kathy. You're on.
Hi. How are you? I had an allergy when I was a kid. I've had many drug allergies through my life, and I finally came to a point where there weren't too many antibiotics that I could take without developing hives or an anaphylactic reaction. I had been allergic to penicillin as a child. I got 2 shots, and I was loaded with hives from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And then I went into anaphylactic shock. I went to an allergist, and I was indeed tested in his office. And we discovered I wasn't allergic to the penicillin anymore. But he said he thought that penicillin had been manufactured using horse serum early on when I was a kid, which is many years ago. And today they manufactured penicillin synthetically.
Okay, Kathy, we're going to stop you right there because we're running out of time. I want to give the doctor a chance to get back to you here. Go ahead.
What does she think of that?
That's what we're going to ask her.
Sure. I would say it's maybe a lot more common that penicillin allergy never existed, or it exists and it recover. So you outgrew your penicillin allergy. This is very common, and I think the testing, if properly done on you, is very indicative of you not having penicillin allergy.
And they always ask you when you're going into a doctor or whether you have allergies, whether you have reactions to penicillin. Yeah. Kathy, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Assad in, it says Wassinger, but I'm pretty sure it's Wappinger's. Go ahead.
It's Wappinger's fault. Hi, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. My question is this. I've suffered from pretty severe hay fever beginning and end of the summer most of my life, and the only over-the-counter that would work would be Benadryl. I have to take 2 at night, and I would wake up absolutely with pseudo-dementia is what it felt like. It was just too strong. But I found 2 things that sort of worked, and I wanted to get the doctor's opinions on it, were oral magnesium. Taking that seems to kind of, you know, stabilize the allergies with less Benadryl use, as well as the herb stinging nettle. I just wanted to know if she has had any experience with those supplements and any success or anecdotal stories.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time, so go ahead, Doc.
Okay.
Well, that's good because I don't have much to comment here. So
okay.
Yeah. But thank you.
Hey, Assad, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay, so we are just about out of time. I want to apologize to Lisa and Maria. for not being able to take their call today, next time maybe. And you've been listening to Dr. Kirsi Jarvinen Seppo, who has done a terrific job. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley, health-quest.org for locations, and Woodland Pond at New Paltz, Life Care Retirement, living in the mid-Hudson Valley, 845-256-5520. Our engineer is Zach Malloy, thanks to our intern, Laura Dudick, for answering the phones today. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks for listening. Now, stay tuned for a news update.